This isn't a surprise to anyone. Maybe the timing to me is more of the surprise. I thought it's 6 months too late, but Freddie Shabbat no longer the goalie coach of the Oilers, replaced by Dustin Schwartz, who, you know what? I know Strud said he doesn't care. He doesn't think it matters so much as far as experience, but he's another guy who the Oilers just hired from within without even looking outside the organization again like they did with their GM.
Well, it's a little bit of a pattern, right? If you look at some of the significant hires that the Oilers have made in their organization, it's a little bit of a pattern and a little bit of a disturbing one. You know, I mean, and this is nothing against Dustin Schwartz at all. I mean, they obviously know enough about him. They feel they know enough about him. I think you're probably in tough to just go find a goalie coach mid-season. He offers them a solution from now to the end of the year, and whether they move on with him or not or conduct a search in the off-season, they still have some options open to them. But the simple fact is, when you are running an organization, finding good personnel is, you know, there are organizations who spend tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars finding the best people. It's so critical to the organization to find the best people. And the Oilers under Daryl Cates haven't really subscribed to that, you know, that logic. The Oilers have had many, many hires already since the beginning of all of this, in which there wasn't any level of scouring the ends of the earth to find the best candidates. Whether it was when Scott Housen was brought in for his job, an upper management job, just basically handed to him. Craig McTavish, when he took his job in upper management, same thing, just handed to him. This was before he was the general manager. Then again, when McTavish is given the general manager's reins, don't think there was an interview process. Don't think there was a lineup of people. Dallas Eakins gets hired as head coach. You know, they were interviewing people for associate jobs.
But that's the only one where they actually did interviews.
Yeah, but I mean, then all of a sudden they fired the coach and hired Dallas. So it goes on and on and on. And I just think it's a fundamental flaw in the organization. You can't just keep handing out jobs to people because they're your friends or you have a history with them. At some point, you need to invest the time, the energy, the effort into finding the best people out there. How many people did they interview for their assistant general manager job that they just gave to Bill Scott? How many people? I would submit to you that probably none. And I'm not saying Bill shouldn't have the job. I'm just saying it's a terrible practice that this organization subscribes to, and it has to stop.
Well, it's a lot like when Gregor fell in love. When you know, you know.
Exactly.
You know, I did a lot of interviews.
Hey, this is a family show. I want to take this in a little bit different direction. Now it's okay. You, Shauger. I watch this team play is just like we all do, and I see a team right now that has zero confidence, second guessing themselves all over the ice, and just, you know, and I'm going to use an example, Justin Schultz. I don't think he knows whether he's coming or going. Who is this on? The player, his teammates, the coaches? Why does this happen?
Well, a couple of things, and whether you're talking about Schultz specifically, there's a couple of things, Strud, that I see happening. One, I see a really fragile team that very, very quickly has the wind come out of the balloon, right? Like almost instantly. So goalie lets in two bad goals or two goals on the first two shots. This is not a team that has the ability to recover from this. The wind comes out of the sails and everybody just buckles. Justin Schultz's play this year, I don't know exactly what's been going on with Justin. I don't know if maybe, you know, the way contract negotiations went, maybe he's got some issues there. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but his give-a-you-know-what meter in his own zone just seems to be as low as I've ever seen it before. So that's on the player. That's absolutely on the player. But I also think that this is on Dallas, because Dallas, as the head coach, needs to find a way to get these guys motivated. And in the case of Justin Schultz, I mean, he should have been sat a long time ago. And I don't necessarily mean scratched, but he should have been sitting on the end of the bench watching Jeff Beechery get his power play minutes games and games ago. Dallas has given his players too much rope this year, and what it's resulted in is guys who think they can do anything they want, other players frustrated at them, and it's just created this kind of toxic little mix where I just don't think things are making sense. I think he gave them too much rope. And I firmly believe they're trying to trade Justin Schultz. I believe the reason he's been getting the minutes he's been getting is because they've been showcasing him and are shopping him. I think that the conversations they had with him about a long-term deal, what they know he's looking for, and what they see in front of their own two eyes, I don't think it adds up for them. And I think he's a guy that they could be shopping really, really hard right now.
Yeah, when you have so many players, though, lacking confidence, I mean, we could really go up and down the lineup. And a lot of them are the younger players. But also, I don't see Jordan Eberle playing with that same, like, aggressive.
For sure.
You know, aggressive, not the word, but that same assertive play. Yakupov, you know, has fallen off again. And I'm not just being up. That's just, I think, the word is. Teddy Purcell. We go through Nikitin. Mark Fain would probably wonder why he's not getting more ice time. And the goalies. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like there's so much lack of confidence in this dressing room. It's a really scary. And so, you know, I thought Dallas Eakins last year should have started benching guys right away. You know, if you make a mistake, you have stage one, we talk about it. Stage two, we watch video. Stage three, you're sipping water on the bench.
Yeah.
And now it seems like Dallas says he was too hard on the guys last year. Now he's got to be lighter this year. I actually totally go the opposite.
The only guy he was hard on somewhat was Nail Yakupov, and his game's improved. Like, you'd think that he would look at it.
Hang on, though. I mean, I think Dallas being hard on guys externally is way different than probably what goes on inside the dressing room, right? Like, people need to understand this. Dallas is not going to tell us what's going on in his room.
Yeah, but Ryan, I'm not being hard on a guy. Actions speak louder than words. He was hard on Nail Yakupov in ice time, the fact that he benched him, and that was easy to see. And he even talked about his game. He has come out, and there was the one guy he finally mentioned, well, Nikitin wasn't playing well after 20 games, so he got benched. But look at his actions say everything you need to know. Justin Schultz, it doesn't matter. Now, you can say they're showcasing him fine, but you can still showcase a player. If you're showcasing him and he's terrible, you're actually devaluing him.
Yeah, but if you bench him for a period, then it grabs the headlines, and then the value just disappears. So look, something doesn't add up on Schultz, guys. The way he's been playing and the minutes he's been getting, it doesn't add up, right? Dallas is not a dummy. He knows when guys aren't playing well.
Are you sure?
He keeps rolling them out there because they can't have the narrative be Schultz healthy scratch. Schultz benched for a period. Schultz.
Well, you don't have to bench him, Ryan. You can play the guy 17 minutes a night, not 25.
Sure.
That's not benching him.
I totally agree with that. And if you look at what he did last game, he was down significantly. The game before that, his 5-on-5 minutes were down. He's starting to do that now. But what I'm saying, you guys, and Strud, you tell me if this is a good idea or a bad idea for Dallas. No matter what's going on in that room, Dallas is not going to show it to people on the outside looking in. To the extent that he will make himself look stupid in front of us, and have us and the fans going, what is this dummy thinking? He will take that bullet rather than sit there and rip his guys for a lack of accountability, a lack of this or a lack of that. I'm here to tell you guys, there is no way he was okay with that response to Draisaitl. No way he was okay with that. There is no way he was as indifferent to it as he made it sound like today. He is not going to show us that. He will deal with it internally. I think Dallas firmly believes the fastest way to lose your dressing room is to start throwing guys under the bus in the media. And no matter how dumb it makes him look, he will not do it.
100%, Shagri. You can't. The message put out by him through the media and what's being told in the dressing room are totally opposite oftentimes.
Absolutely. I mean, I heard a story last year, guys, about Dallas Eakins nearly smashing the crap out of that $15,000 smart board at the front of the room by whipping a hockey stick across the room. This is not a guy who's devoid of emotion in there, right? This is not a guy who is afraid to unleash. What do you think those 8:30 a.m. practices were about last year, right? He just played dumb with us. Was he ever going to tell us it was because this guy did this or that guy did that? No. Dallas has his players' backs, and I agree with that tact, but sometimes he looks like a dummy because we ask him questions and he lies. Because he would rather lie than tell the truth and hurt players in his organization or the people who employ him.
Yeah, very well said. Ryan Mushog here on the show with Jason Greger and Jason Strudwick, ironically. Shoger, you know, a lot of people the last couple of weeks, David Perron's name has been thrown around.
Yep.
We all know this, a center of equal skill set is better than a winger, just because of the way they play. But are they in danger of perhaps trading the one winger they have in the top nine, and maybe outside of Taylor Hall, that plays the kind of game they desperately need, a guy that attacks the paint?
Yeah, a little bit, and they need to get the right player back in return for him. So, in other words, if you're going to trade David Perron, you can't trade him for a softie in the middle, a soft skill guy in the middle, right? you need to go and get Braden Schenn if you're going to trade David Perron. And that's not going to get it done. You'll have to add to the deal. You'll have to sweeten it for sure. But if it's going to be a little bit of sandpaper out, it's got to be a little bit of sandpaper in. They can't afford to come out on the opposite side of that equation. So I totally agree with you, Struds. I think if they make that kind of deal and they bring that kind of player back, I think it's still a good deal. But they can't afford to move that guy with that element in his game without bringing that back.
Yeah, I'm just not sure I see where they can get that from.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, I don't know if Philly's willing to move Braden Schenn or not. I don't know what the situation is there. You need to find teams that are also desperate to make moves or have to make moves. You know, they have a fair amount of that in their lineup. They have, and they've got some real good center. I mean, Sean Couturier is a really good young center, and I'm not sure where their patience level is at with him, but they can probably afford to have sandpaper out a little bit. So to me, that's a guy who is a realistic option. It just depends on what the price point is. But I think outside of Taylor Hall and Ryan Nugent Hopkins, it is all, everybody is out there. I think Justin Schultz is out there. I think Neil Yakupov is out there. Jordan Eberle is out there. I think just about anybody is out there right now. And I think probably for the first time in his tenure as general manager, Craig McTavish is openly looking to deal Eberle and Schultz. I don't think that has ever been the case before this 20-game stretch.
You think Nikin's available?
Coming to a waiver wire near you soon. But again, exactly, guys. That's another example of Dallas making himself look silly because he backs his player. He refuses to throw his player under the bus. So we're sitting there asking him, why are you still playing this guy? Or why has this guy been so bad? And he said, well, he's got a bit of a bad back. So we're going, so you're playing an injured Nikitin over ahead of a healthy Marincin? Like, again, Dallas is, he's coming up with half-truths and dancing around things to the point of looking kind of stupid because he's not wanting to throw guys under the bus. Nikitin's another great example of that. His goaltenders are an example of that. Justin Schultz is an example of that. Yeah. All of these examples we've had this year.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that is, if you believe that, I'm not sure I totally agree with that or not, but either way, while he's doing that, his players are just getting him driven, having the bus back over him, because the way they're playing, trust me, they are not going anywhere, and he is not long to be the head coach in Edmonton. It's becoming more obvious by the day.
Well, for sure. I mean, it can't keep going like this, and I don't believe that Craig McTavish has his finger on the trigger at all when it comes to firing Dallas Eakins. I truly don't. It wouldn't surprise me if Craig went down with the ship rather than firing Dallas Eakins, honestly, because I think that Craig feels a huge sense of responsibility for this situation. He fired a capable head coach in order to bring Dallas in, 4-year deal, lots of the owner's money, and Dallas moves his entire family here, the whole bit. And Craig, in the first year, gives him an American Hockey League defensive core to work with. And in the second year, makes him start the year with a 19-year-old at center, another center who should be his 13th forward, no first-pairing defenseman, and sketchy, unproven goaltending. I think Craig does not look at this situation, and he does not say, boy, you know, Dallas is really failing with what I've given him to work with. I don't think that Craig can look himself in the mirror and think that. I think he knows the situation he's provided for Dallas is not good enough, and I think Craig will do everything in his power to make that better. I don't think his figure is on the trigger right now.
Well, we'll see, Shocker. We'll talk in December, because I don't see it lasting much longer, because I don't see it changing against the Western Conference. Yeah. We got to run. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, boys. See ya.